Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on-a-whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Tomorrow, the papal visit to Canada begins. Pope Francis will arrive in Edmonton, so it's of real significance. But what is required for the Pope's mission to be considered a success? Calvin Helene is the son of a hereditary chief in British Columbia. He's a brilliant author, including Dances with Dependency. That was the first book of Calvin's that I read. He's written many more since, but it's an incredible book. He's just a wonderful author, lawyer, entrepreneur, also named to the top 40 under 40, and always glad to have Calvin on the program. Calvin, thank you very much for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, Roy. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in this world of ours, not only with the Pope's visit, but elsewhere as well. But let's start with the Pope. So Pope Francis says he'll be on a penitential pilgrimage to engage reconciliation and healing of wounds left by the residential school system in Canada. And he'll address the Church's role within the residential school system beginning in the 1860s and lasting until 1969. What do you think the Pope's message is going to have to contain? Will it have to be different to his apology to an indigenous delegation to the Vatican in April of this year?
To be honest with you, Roy, I don't really care what he says. I think that he's the CEO of an institution that destroyed our cultures, destroyed our languages, destroyed our families, the abuse that indigenous kids took at their schools, and they're probably, I think, maybe the only schools in the history of the planet where architects designed cemeteries into them because they were killing kids. And I have very little hopes that anything will come out of this. I know there are people who were abused in the school, and they might get some sense of reconciliation from it, but I wouldn't prostrate myself to any organization that literally had as its purpose to wipe out your identity. And I don't think that, to talk about his apology, well, is it really an apology if after consulting 1,000 lawyers and having some statement extracted from you, is that in the spirit of a real apology? I don't think, there's a lot to that. And the other thing that I think needs to be addressed is what's known as the doctrine of discovery. Doctrine of discovery was the legal sleight of hand that the church used to take everybody's land. And basically it consisted of if you were an explorer for a country that was under the Catholic Church at the time, you went off to somewhere and you planted a flag and went back and informed the sovereign and then came back with a handful of people to create a small settlement, they took your land. All of the Americas were taken that way. And so the feelings that I have towards an institution like that are not very good. I know he's the figurehead of the church. But in all of this, in this whole process, this this religion, which is supposed to be moral, supposed to be kind to people and forgiving and all of these things, they have not practiced what they preached at all. They basically did everything they could to avoid having to be responsible for some of the things that their preachers had done and nuns had done to indigenous people over the last 100 or so years.
Calvin, let me just ask you this, if you don't mind. Do you think there's a considerable percentage of indigenous people in this country who feel just as you do, are looking at this penitential pilgrimage by the Pope? And when I asked you the first question, what really stuck out to me was when I went back to my notes and I saw the residential school system began in the 1860s and lasted until 1969, so over 100 years. And here we are in 2022, and finally the Pope is coming to Canada to apologize. And I had the same question you did. Who wrote this apology? Would have been a lot of people in the room when they crafted this. Do you believe there's a significant percentage of First Nations people, Indigenous people, who feel as you do about this visit?
I think there is a significant percentage of people that do feel this way because they're informed about what happened. They understand the history. In the United States and all the countries in the Americas are relatively new by the terms of the way Aboriginal people, mostly across the world, look at things. We've been in places for 10,000 years or more. They're now discovering that Indigenous people have been in the Americas likely 30,000 years. And so we take a very long view of history, and to have all of this stuff have occurred so recently, I think it helps to understand how Indigenous people feel about this.
Calvin, you were just talking about the many, many centuries of Indigenous culture and civilization in North and Central America. And you and I have talked about this, the advanced and the well-functioning civilizations which existed before Europeans arrived. When I've read your writings, I've invariably thought that the teaching of Indigenous history, as you've researched it, would be a significantly important contributor to truth and reconciliation. There are many people who feel very strongly and very positively about the Pope arriving tomorrow. I don't want to take that away from them. But, and I really want to hear we've heard what you think, but I really think that properly teaching and appreciating Indigenous civilizations would go a long way toward understanding and truth and reconciliation. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, a critical aspect of trying to recognize what existed before Europeans came to the Americas. The idea that the history that is recorded came from a time and from Europeans when their motivations were gold, glory, and God, and gold was first. They weren't interested at all in the huge number of indigenous cultures. Mm-hmm. And so when they came, unfortunately, they brought all these diseases, and it wiped out about 95% of the population. And when you consider, maybe 0.00003% of the population died during COVID, it completely wiped out these incredibly sophisticated indigenous societies throughout the Americas. There's trading networks across the continents. And so when the settlers came, they judged people by what was left of the societies, and there wasn't a lot left. They were, you can imagine if 95% of the population of North America suddenly disappeared, you wouldn't have much of a functioning engine.
No, you wouldn't.
And
no,
so
wouldn't.
And so people don't really have a good idea of what these societies were like, or an accurate idea. And there was a study done recently at the London School, London College or whatever, in, out of Great Britain. And there was a time between 1600 and 1800 called the Little Ice Age. And this study concluded that the reason there was a Little Ice Age is because there were so many people in the Americas that had land under cultivation, that when the population died from disease, it resulted in a regrowth of natural vegetation, which pulled so much CO2 out of the atmosphere that it created the an actual Little Ice Age.
I hadn't heard that. And let me. I've got about 3 minutes, Calvin. If I can just come back for a minute to the visit by the Pope, the penitential pilgrimage. What do you think the significance of this visit is to the youngest or the younger generations of First Nations?
I don't really know. I don't think. Well, it may have a lot of significance to them because what happened was the dysfunction that happened from 1860 on is internalized through the generation. So these young people are carrying a lot of the internal dysfunction that was caused by the church. And I think if the church actually wanted to do something, they should address dealing with all of these issues, not just for Indigenous people, but for all of the other non-Indigenous kids across the globe who had their lives shattered by the abuse of preachers and nuns.
That's a big issue there. Does the Prime Minister have a role to play during the Pope's visit, in your view?
I don't think. I know what his role is going to be. It's to have selfies with him, like he does everywhere else. But I don't think it would make any difference whatsoever. Okay.
What must the papal visit? I probably shouldn't be asking you this because you've told me how you feel about it. But let me ask you anyway. What must the papal visit avoid? Where must the Pope not speak to, if anything? What do you think?
Turn that on its end. I think what he should speak to is to, if you look at the assets of the Catholic Church, they'd be the biggest corporation in the world. And what they've been seeking to do is to avoid paying any kind of compensation to any of the people. And again, I'm including non-Indigenous people in this. They fought for all of their supposed Christian sentiments. They fought a just outcome for all of these people that have been harmfully impacted by things. They should sell some of their assets and take care of good Christian business by dealing with the people that they've really, really seriously harmed.
One more question for you. When it comes to the issue of First Nations and reconciliation, we have about a minute here. What is the issue that most has to be addressed by governments, by all parties? What's the issue that has to dominate?
In my opinion, what happened was the government cleared Indigenous people off their traditional lands. They were completely self-reliant. They were and they put them on reserves in order to make them dependent because they were easy to control. And we're in a situation now where Indigenous people are wanting to be involved in the economy, and their access to our traditional resources is limited. There has to be economic reconciliation so people can be able to have jobs and opportunities to validate their sense of self-worth.
It comes back to dignity and economy and the ability to do things for yourself and improve your own life on your terms makes a massive difference. I mean, I'm going to say your terms. I mean that in the large context.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.